Today we're building a retro rave, VHS colored drum and bass section in Ableton Live 12, using a subsign workflow that keeps the low end clean, heavy, and club ready. This is not just about making things sound lo-fi. The real goal is to create that foggy, tape-worn, warehouse energy while still keeping the track functional in a proper mix. So think old school jungle attitude, late 90s roller pressure, and modern arrangement discipline all at the same time. That balance is the whole game. In this lesson, we're focusing on an arrangement section that could work as a main drop, a switch up, or a transition into a bigger drop. We're going to build a clean sine sub, a gritty mid-bass layer, chopped breaks, and automation that gives the section that VHS rave character without destroying the punch. First, set your arrangement mindset before you touch sound design. In Ableton, give yourself a working section around 64 bars and place markers for intro, build, drop, variation, and outro. For this tutorial, we're really focusing on an 8-bar drop phrase with a 4-bar variation. That's a very useful DNB structure because it gives enough repetition for people to lock into the groove, but enough movement to keep it from feeling like a loop. A classic phrasing idea is simple. Bars 1 and 2 establish the bass motif. Bars 3 and 4 add a response or a fill. Bars 5 and 6 repeat with a small twist. And bars 7 and 8 give you a turnaround or tension lift. That short form movement is one of the reasons DNB stays exciting. The arrangement has to keep moving, even when the sound palette is minimal. Now let's build the sub. Create a MIDI track and load operator. Set oscillator to a pure sine wave. Keep it mono. Keep the glide short, somewhere around 20 to 60 milliseconds, so the notes can connect with a little bit of movement without turning into a legato mess. At this stage, don't try to make the sub fancy. The sub is the foundation. It should feel stable, deep, and almost invisible until it hits the room. Program a short bass line with space in it. In old school jungle and DNB, the bass often feels like a conversation with the drums, not a constant melody sitting on top. So leave gaps around the kick and snare. Try 2 to 4 notes per bar, and let the rhythm breathe. A strong starting idea is to hit the root on beat 1, then answer on the offbeat, then move to another note and return. Even if the pitch changes are simple, the timing can make it feel alive. Keep the sub in the wait zone, roughly around 35 to 55 Hz depending on the key. Use Spectrum if you want a visual check, but trust your ears too. The main thing is that the sub remains centered and controlled. If needed, put utility after operator and keep the width at 0 so the bass stays completely mono. Now add the character layer. Create a second MIDI track and load Waveatable. This layer is not for sub weight, it's for attitude, texture, and that slightly worn VHS rave mid-range tone. Start with a saw-based Waveatable, or a saw and square style blend, then detune it gently with 2 to 4 voices of unison. Keep the detune modest. You want movement, not a giant super saw cloud. Use a low-pass filter with some resonance, and add a little drive. Then process it with stock devices. Saturator is great here for a few dB of drive. Auto filter can shape the tone so it feels darker or more open depending on the section. Chorus ensemble can add a subtle wobble and width, but keep it very light. And if you want some VHS grain, a touch of redux can work, but don't crush the sound. The whole point is to roughen the edges, not destroy the clarity. This mid layer should feel like the personality of the bass. The sub handles the weight. The Waveatable layer handles the character. If the mid layer starts fighting the sub, high pass it more aggressively and keep the low end out of its way. That separation is what makes this style work. A really useful move here is to group the sub and mid tracks into a bass stack. That makes arrangement and automation easier. On the group, you can add gentle glue with saturator or drum boss, and use utility to keep an eye on mono compatibility. If the mid layer feels too wide, narrow it a bit. Usually the best retro rave bass is wide enough to feel alive, but not so wide that it smears the low mid-range. Next, let's build the breakbeat. Drag in a classic break or a break-inspired loop. It can be amen adjacent, but the important part is the editing. Use warp to tighten the timing if needed, then start shaping it into a 2-bar loop. Add ghost notes around the snare. Add a tiny kick pickup before a phrase change. Add a snare flam or a hat fill at the end of bar 4 or bar 8. Those little edits are what make the break feel hand-played and alive. If you want to get more hands-on, you can slice the break to a new MIDI track and rearrange it like a drum instrument, or use simpler in slice mode for quick triggering. Beat repeat can also be cool for a quick retro stutter, but use it sparingly. The break should feel lively, not over-processed. For drum processing, keep it disciplined. Drum bus can add some punch and grit, but don't overdo it. High pass the brake somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, so it stays out of the sub's way. If you need more impact, use clip gain or transient-friendly processing rather than flattening the whole loop with heavy compression. In this style, the brake should feel rough, not polished. Now comes the fun part, the VHS Rave color. This is where automation makes the whole section come alive. Instead of baking the degradation into every sound permanently, automate it in phrases. That gives you movement, contrast, and tension. A good place to start is the bass group. Automate the auto filter cutoff on the mid layer, so it opens gradually over a phrase. You can start darker and more muffled, then open it up during the main hit, and pull it back down before the next phrase. That creates the feeling of a signal coming in and out, almost like a worn tape deck or a badly tuned radio. You can also automate saturator drive to make certain hits feel more intense. Add reverb throws only on selected snare hits or phrase endings. Use echo on a transition snare or percussive stab for a short throw, maybe with feedback around 10 to 35%. A little erosion or redux on a few bars can add top-end grime, but keep it subtle. If every bar sounds degraded, nothing stands out. The best effect is usually selective, not constant. Think of the arrangement like a DJ tool. In a club context, short clear phrases matter. A strong structure might be an 8-bar intro, then an 8-bar drop, then a 4-bar switch up, then another 8-bar drop with a slight variation, then a 4-bar outro or turn. That kind of phrasing gives the track direction and makes it easy to mix. In the switch up, try something simple but effective. Remove the kick for half a bar. Let the snare and bass tail carry the energy. Drop in a reversed cymbal or a filtered noise sweep, or pull the sub out for one beat and slam it back in. Those little spaces can feel bigger than adding more notes. If you want the bass to feel especially old school, think in terms of call and response. Let the sub hit, then let the drums answer. Let the bass phrase leave space for the snare to speak. You can even alternate two bass characters every 4 bars, one rounder and sign-led, one sharper and more nasal. Same rhythm, different tone. That gives the section evolution without changing the whole identity. Now let's talk about atmospheres. Retro rave and VHS color often live in the in-between moments, not just the big hits. As subtle atmospheric bed using noise, a sample tape texture, or a very quiet synth wash. Filter it heavily, keep the lows removed, and tuck it behind the drums. Use it under the intro, outro, or transitions. The goal is to make it feel like a film artifact or a memory layer, not a pad that takes over the groove. At this point, do a mix pass focused on separation. Keep the sub mono and centered. Make sure the break isn't sitting on top of the bass in the low mids. Use EQA to carve space if needed. Check the harshness around 2 to 5 kHz if the VHS layer gets too biting. And don't chase loudness just to get grit. Preserve headroom. The groove will hit harder if the mix stays controlled. A great test is to mute the mid layer for a second and listen to the sub by itself. Does it still tell the story? If yes, bring the mid layer back in and ask whether it adds attitude or just clutter. That's the kind of decision-making that keeps the arrangement strong. A few common mistakes show up a lot in this style. One is making the lo-fi effect too strong too early. Another is letting the mid-bass compete with the sub. Another is over-compressing the break until it loses its swing. Also watch the stereo width on the low end. Keep the bass centered, and use width only for upper harmonics and character. And remember to make changes every 2, 4, or 8 bars. TNB needs motion to stay alive. A few extra pro moves. Use parallel distortion so you keep one clean sub path and one dirty mid path. Try adding a tiny kick click or a short noise hit with a snare for extra snap. Resample your bass once it feels right. Sometimes chopping rendered audio gives you more believable old school instability than tweaking a synth forever. And always check the groove in mono and at low volume. If it still feels strong quietly, it will usually hit on a proper system. For a quick practice pass, build one 8-bar phrase. Program a 4-note subline in operator. Add the wavy-table layer with slight detune and saturation. Place a breakbeat loop and edit the last bar so it ends with a fill. Automate a low-pass filter on the mid-bass so it opens over the phrase. Add one echo throw on the final snare of bar 4 or bar 8. Then make the last 2 bars slightly different by removing one bass note, adding a ghost snare, or shifting a kick pickup. Export it and listen in mono. The goal is to make it feel like a real drop section, not just a loop. So the big takeaway here is simple. Keep the sub clean. Let the character layer do the VHS coloring. Use break edits and ghost notes for motion. And automate texture in phrases rather than painting the whole track with distortion. If you get that balance right, you'll end up with something that feels like old-school jungle atmosphere with modern low-end discipline. That's the sweet spot. Deep, gritty, nostalgic, and still absolutely ready for the club.